Thank you. Thank you for having me, and also thank you very much for staying until so late on the last day of Fastum. So this session is called Effective Standard Setting, and I'm sorry this is going to be a bit rough as a start, but you know, the question is, why this title? And the reason for this title is the current ESO processes, well, they're not very effective, to put it mildly, right? They're slow. They fail to involve domain experts. And the standards they produce are unfit for purpose more often than not. And this could sound like a disgruntled open source community person ranting, but it's actually not my words. It's literally what the report from the commission based on the, you know, the ESO's own research shows, right? And you know, if you want to dig into it, you can. Most of my comments were based on point 311, page 19. But the purpose of this talk is not to do standards organization bashing. It's to propose an effective alternative. And I've talked about the reason why the ESOs function the way they do in their history and the past, and I know and I understand the context, and you're more than happy to go look at that talk if you want a sort of more understanding perspective on the situation. But really the purpose of this talk is to try to figure out how could we do this more effectively. And we actually just had the premises of a demonstration of that was the process that ETSI has put in place for the vertical standards of the CRA, which are clearly going in the direction that essentially I'm going to be talking about. So the good news is actually effective standard setting is fairly easy. And we actually already have a model for effective open collaboration at scale. Ta-da, right? It's just open source. And you know, the sort of pushback I get whenever I say this is, oh, but Toby, you know, like standards, it's very different. Like it doesn't work that way at all. We cannot do this for lots of reasons. But a number of consortiums whose standards and specifications we all rely on, ECMA, W3C, et cetera, have been using techniques like this for over a decade at this point. And it works really well, and they publish regularly, you know, at an increasingly rapid pace, standards and specs that we all depend on and that our technology depends on. So yeah, it works. Try it, right? And so how exactly does it work? Well, essentially, as we were seeing before, you put specs in as text files or markdown files in publicly available code repositories. And then you just use issue trackers and pull requests to track comments and manage contributions. So you can already see the difference between the ETSI model where we just presented it and the way the open source works is, you know, with this model you can actually make proposals, right? The editor rapporteur operates essentially like a maintainer, and we'll go into the governance of what that means in a few seconds. And what is really, really important is asynchronous communication, right? For those of us that were involved in the Sensedelec horizontal standard work, essentially having to sit through 3 days of meeting to be sure that you would not miss the moment where your comment would be addressed, but then still missed it, is incredibly painful. And it doesn't make any sense. And also cuts out a lot of people that do not have the luxury to have large organizations willing to pay for them to sit in a meeting for 3 days. So, you know, asynchronous communication is really important. And then, of course, what you need, and again, that is not rocket science either, are IPR models that allow for this open collaboration model and then allow you to close down a final version that cannot lead to derivative work. So that people can trust that that standard is the one that was reviewed and approved by the consortium or the organization, and not a fork of it that would have a few things modified. So again, like, this isn't practice, like, it exists, right? This model works. What's really important and what changes from the models that we see in the ESOs is that the drafting and the review are open, right? You start from the get-go essentially with an empty page or perhaps an initial contribution. And all of the drafting happens in public, and you get as a result early feedback and use cases that feed into the standard work itself. And then you get continuous review during the whole drafting phase. So depending on the organizations you have that have adopted the system, and depending on what your needs are, you can be very flexible and creative with the governance. As an example, for example, WattWG uses a concept called living standards, where they're essentially always contributing to a standard that is never finished. The idea is the standard reflects the interoperability of the ecosystem and is updated continuously. For legal reasons, they publish on a regular time. A version copy of it to trigger IPR commitments from the broader industry. But the standard itself is just constantly living. On the other hand, at the opposite of the spectrum, you can leverage the exact same system for the drafting phase and then have very formal review process. And that's actually used, for example, to move standards built in these consortiums to ISO and make them international standards in the process. You can have very different forms of consensus mechanisms too. You can empower maintainers or reporters to essentially be driving the standard have a good sense of what the consensus is going to be and put that in the draft. Or you can rely on meeting points or pull request reviews in order to make sure that a change to the draft is approved by a majority of the group or by any kind of means that you would like to set up. And yeah, as I was saying, you can absolutely add formal review process before publication, et cetera. And so why does that work? Well, it makes it just easy for everyone to participate. As an example, during the early phase of the ORC project, we were working on a proposed spec, and I had concerns about one part of the spec that felt like it was going a little bit too broadly in one area, and I bumped into the main expert of that particular aspect at a conference and literally tagged them on the draft, the issue, and they had to look the next day, and they told me, oh yeah, that wouldn't work for us, it would create this and this issue, right? So in essentially less than 24 hours, I could get effective, useful feedback directly in the document itself and be able to iterate over it. It allows earlier involvement, right? You can get key stakeholders in the process at a very early stage and provide use cases and tell you what works and what doesn't, what already exists in that field and what doesn't. As I was saying, it enables easier involvement of the main experts. And then lastly, I mean, you're getting much, much better tooling to manage comments and coordinate them. I mean, I'm still on a bunch of groups that talk about Sensenelec and Etsy, and I kind of feel, half of me chuckles, to be fair, and the other half of me really feels sincere pain for the poor reporters who are dealing with thousands of comments that they have to integrate and figure out, like, whether they conflict or not, because the tooling is so bad for this, right? If you're building on top of tooling that's been used and refined for decades to manage code merges, it is really easy to do this. And I think that's all I have, and I can now take a bunch of questions and get thrown tomatoes at. Thank you very much for having me.
Hi, so thank you very much for this explanation. I would have loved for example, IETF standardization to be the way you describe it, where people regularly do infighting on how to manage the documents. So comment resolution and IETF is also sometimes not fun. On the other hand, for example, looking into Etsy, where some of the standards for EUSR are managed in a public GitLab instance, and you can send pull requests, and they are written markdown. So I think the reality check is we all would love an ideal world. However, there's no single standards org which even has that. So do you recommend more, for example, IETF to move more into the Etsy direction of having everything in the GitLab? Or is that not intentional?
So I'm not super familiar with how IETF works, because I've been more involved with W3C and ECMA than IETF. And my understanding is IETF is very flexible in terms of tooling, and different communities there use different things. But I must say I can't really talk for them. I'm not sure. The sound is terrible. I don't know if you can actually, if you understood anything I said, but like the questions are just really hard to even understand from here. So I'm not sure I understood your question well and answered it properly.
Yeah. So I think one of the things which you made a very good point of is that we need better cooperation tools, and pretty much every standards process breaks down. And I think you outlined some very good ideas. We just need to make sure they are applied everywhere. And I think that's the benefit of your, great benefit of your talk. You point out how to improve tooling in a way which makes people not unhappy, but productive. So
yes.
Thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
I'm actually going to go to Alton, because I know Alton is. Yeah.
Simon wants to exercise.
I have to get my step count up.
Thank you very much. Alton Mulligan from it. Yeah, thank you. Actually, it's very interesting what you... Yeah, it was on and then stopped. Okay. Yes, Alton Mulligan from Etsy. It's very interesting what you're presenting. Thank you very much. I agree with about 90% of what you've said. And it's true that from the very beginning, when I started looking in detail in open source, I realized that actually the open source community, their ways of working, the spirit behind it was not actually very different from the world of standards. The tooling is different, that's for sure. But the idea that everybody works together to build something that is collectively better by working together and delivering it publicly, that's more or less the same spirit, the spirit of collaboration, it's there. There is one thing I would have an issue with, and that's your statement at the beginning, the standards are slow. That depends on where you look. One of the biggest delays in writing standards, and it has been the case with the CRA standards, has been the time it takes to get consensus, the time it takes to get input and to get that input agreed in the committee. That's what takes time. The actual editing and whatnot, that's mechanical. Yes, it's expensive, it can be time-consuming and annoying, but that's not where the delay is. The delay is in getting consensus. We, among other things, develop the standards for the mobile communications, the 3G, 4G, 5G, and soon 6G. We do it collaboratively with other standards bodies in the world. At the moment, we're assembling all of the technologies that will go into 6G in what we call study items in a third-generation partnership project. By mid-2027, we will start writing the standards for 6G. In about two and a half years, we will write about 1,500 standards, some of them up to 1,000 pages long, describing the entire 6G system. We'll have about 700 or 800 companies or organizations involved in that, probably about 2,000 or 3,000 experts, sometimes 1,000 people in the room, going through 1,000 to 2,000 documents per week. Doing all of that online, we've tried. It's very difficult to get consensus across 1,000 people in an online session in the time frame that we need to move. So, you know, we're going to move very fast with this. when those standards are delivered, they're updated 4 times a year with, again, thousands of changes tracking what actually happens in the mobile systems. So there are parts of standardization that are very slow, that's true. There are parts that can move much faster than anything we're used to seeing, even in the open source world.
I entirely hear the point, and I mean, just to be clear, I'm literally quoting from a report that is the commission's work. Like, I have, you know, based on, like, so I'm not making a statement here of my perspective on it. I also don't want to suggest that there's a one-size-fit-all solution. But clearly, my experience of at least the Centennial work and around the CRA, very honestly not familiar with how the ETSI one went because I was not in the rooms. But that was like really not great, to put it mildly. I think the process used there is not adapted to the kind of standard that is supposed to be. I don't know how the telecoms industry works, and I don't know how they build standards. And it's also very different because it's a structure that, as far as I know, there's a lot of IP involved in the standard processes, and the structure is very different. So it's totally normal that, you know, for some solutions, some systems work, and for others are better. And I think it's good when we can use the right tools for the job, right? Thank you for your comment.
I'm kind of thinking about how this. Oh, sorry. I'm Daniel Ehrenberg, working as a vertical rapporteur for browsers in ETSI, and I'm wondering about how this. These recommendations about tooling and processes seem. I'm wondering about how we can the European structures. We have these various kind of comment periods, as Laura explained earlier. In the there's kind of this initial open period, and then there's these other official like public inquiry periods. I think it could be interesting to figure out how we could map those to the kind of open source process as. You continuously have comments coming in and you're continuously resolving them, which kind of large comment review processes. I'm not sure how we could adapt one to the other, but they're like trying to best.
Yeah, should I go ahead? Yeah, okay. So I don't know the specifics of how the process of ETSI works and when there's specific review periods, etc. The whole idea of the way standards that are built on using an open source collaboration model are done is that you can still add like formal review periods when you want to at the end of the process, right? But you start with the review process from the get-go because everything is done in the open. And the benefit of that is you essentially like, you know, the whole comments, they come like over a much longer period of time. And you can tune the document as you're getting input rather than do a draft sort of kind of by yourself. Because the reality of how these standards are written is kind of like there's a reporter and like they do most of the work, right? And then once you've done most of the work, then get yelled at by lots of different people that are unhappy with it and have to sort of like scramble to get that together, right? So essentially, you get yelled at less, but for a much longer period of time. I don't know if the IPRs, if the process structure of ETSI would allow for this, but if it did, it would be great.
Hi, Toby.
Hello.
Thank you for your presentation. So I will be very brief. I'm aware of time. So I'm Lucie Lanfri. He asked me to introduce myself from Sensanelec. Actually, I took a picture from a previous presentation. It was something I loved. rules should be designed to ensure forceful role as a public good, as a central infrastructure. And I think in the standards culture, we are a little bit far from there, from being there, from understanding the importance of FOSS. And I loved all of your ideas for how to work together, but do you think also the lack of awareness sometimes, or maybe not, yeah, that also takes plays a role in how contributions are taken into account?
I'm sorry, I missed the last bit of that, and
if
it sounded nice.
If you thought, maybe it was also possible that the lack of awareness from stakeholders make contributions difficult to be taken into account during working group discussions.
I'm not sure I understood the, I'm so sorry, Lucia.
Awareness of how important FOSS is for as a critical infrastructure for everything.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yeah. So this is a yes. So now I'm much better understanding the comment. Yes. And this is precisely why, if you do things in the open, you kind of like get this input and this feedback earlier on, and it's kind of more obvious, right? Like if you have lots of people that are bringing sort of like technical arguments to the table. For one way or another, it makes it a lot easier to see them and then address them. And so, in closing, thank you all for your comments, very much so. I really hope that we're able to get processes that work better for everyone. Hopefully, you didn't take those comments too. Badly, and I'm more than happy to work with you all to help move this forward. Thank you very much, folks.